Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD as well. TD, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everything?
We're great. Your Mets are 5-2. Are you allowing yourself to get excited yet?
No, not at all. I know what it is. Not going to do it. Of course, you got these, DeGrom. Don't know what's going on with him. And now T.Y. Walker on the DL. Man, it's crazy.
T.D., what do you make of this Baker Mayfield situation? Obviously, he's coming out and saying that he feels disrespected by the Browns and all this other stuff that's gone on, and there's not been a team that's been willing to trade for him yet at this point. How do you view kind of the Baker Mayfield situation as a whole and him as a player as he moves forward here?
Well, I don't feel the least bit bad for him. You know, you stick around long enough, you become the villain, right? And he always has so much to say about Hugh Jackson, what he left, Duke Johnson, right? You know, if you're not, you're either on the train or off the train. Well, it looks like he's off the train. So I tell you, you know, he's always been outspoken about other situations, so it doesn't surprise me that he's coming out about this. But the fact of the matter is he hasn't played up to the number one draft pick moniker. So, I mean, yeah, if there's a chance to upgrade the roster, they're going to do it, and that's at all positions, and that's just the way this league is. So, you know what? Cry me a river, figure it out, go someplace else, and eventually, you know, maybe you'll get another shot. But in the meantime, you know, it's no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Yeah, he is quite a whiner. I did like his passed out dog on his couch, though. I like his dog better than Baker. So, TD, 2 weeks away, man. It's 2 weeks away. How many mock drafts are you doing between now and then? Where are you right now? You had to pick right now. Just, I guess, well, I was going to say guess a position, but, hey, if you want to go specific, who are you, if you had to bet on who the Titans are going to draft 2 weeks out from the first round, what's the word?
I would bet offensive line, and you just look at what they've used a lot of their picks on, right? They definitely have shown a tendency to address the trenches, whether it's D-line or O-line, and we know the offensive line is pretty much a need. You know, under John Robinson, you look at guys like Isaiah Wilson, Jack Conklin, you look at second-round picks like Dylan Raidens. You know, they've definitely done a lot to address the trenches, and I think that's what they're going to do. Now, granted, there are some players at other positions that could be available that would knock that out of the way, but I think overall position, O-line, you know, you look at Kenyon Green, Trevor Penning, if he's somehow there, Tyler Smith is another one. So there's some guys, Zion Johnson, Tyler Linderbaum. There's a few guys, you know, in the trenches that I think could be there that would be prime suspects for them to select.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And, TD, there's a lot being made of Treylon Burks right now in his 4.55 40 time. I'm curious from your perspective, when you're watching these guys on tape and you're watching them at the combine, how much do you factor in the 40 time that they run, and how much do you factor in what you see on tape? Because when I watched Treylon Burks play, it didn't seem like he had much difficulty running away from SEC defensive backs.
Yeah, I rarely factor in the 40 time, to be honest with you. It's a nice check and balance type of thing, but as you mentioned, he plays with speed. And the Alabama game, look at that play, right? Alabama, that's Alabama, yep. You know, and he was able to pull away from all those guys. So that was enough for me. I think Treylon Burks is definitely an option in the first round. It's interesting because you always get into these type of situations where you look at a guy like Eric Ezukama, who you probably get late third, early fourth from Texas Tech. Pretty much the same player, not as much of it. It's like getting a Nissan instead of an Infiniti. You know what I mean? And it's that yep. type of situation. So the value there is with Ezukama. So there's a lot of receivers in this draft. But Burks is a player. I'll give him that.
I feel TD like the Titans should and probably will at some point take both a tight end. I feel stronger about tight end, but I feel like a running back is, you know, a real viable option here and probably a good idea. I'm just wondering at both spots, if you think middle rounds, which is where I would probably expect, I mean, I guess I could see a tight end with that third round pick potentially, but is there a name at one or both of those spots in that range that you really like, that I know you love scouting these guys and certain guys stand out to you? Anyone that come to mind on either of those spots that would be like kind of like a middle round value pick?
Yeah, there's multiple tight ends. I think a guy like Jelani Woods would be gone. Like, he was originally someone that I was looking at in that range, but I think he's going to be gone like third round. So you look at some options, right? You got Derek Deese Jr. out of San Jose State. You got, I think Greg Dulcich should be gone too. But you look at Cade Otton. You look at Charlie Kolar, Cole Turner. That's an option, too, out of Nevada. There's multiple tight ends that I think. Chig Okonkwo, who we did for ESPN+, we did a comp, player comp, and we had to pick our favorite one. It was myself, Jordan Reed, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Matt Bowen, Mike Tannenbaum. I'm surprised he didn't compare a quarterback to Tannehill. You know he loves Tannehill. But my comparison was Chig Okonkwo to Jonnu Smith. And he's the guy that I think, you know, could come in and they could use him as a move option, and he would complement, you know, some 12 personnel settings and play a little H-back. You know, he would complement what they have there in Jeff Swaim and Austin Hooper. He would complement those guys pretty well. So that's an option there. Running back-wise, I really have honed in on Rutgers running back, Isaiah Pacheco, and he's about 6'1", 215 in that range. But he was a 4.37 guy. It shows on film, though. You watch him on film, and he's hitting home runs. So I think that would be a good option. I know they were there at his pro day. Tony Dews, the running back coach, he actually conducted the workout. And he's someone I think would be a pretty good value in that mid-round. Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame also. You want another option like what they wanted Darrington Evans to be. He's a really good option there.
TD, what do you make of Anthony Firkser joining the Falcons and basically the NFC South version of the Titans that they're building down there with Arthur Smith and company?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you have, you know, coaches move from one team to another. You know what I mean? So there's familiarity there. I think it'll help. He'll complement Kyle Pitts pretty well. I hope he can get back on track to the type of player that he was in 2020. And I think it's a good move. I mean, he's going to be able to hit the ground running. He's not going to have to necessarily learn a new scheme. He knows it. So that's a good pickup for them. But they still need wide receiver help.
I don't even know that we talked about this. What do you think about Mariota there and how that might work this year?
That was interesting when I saw that move, because we know it was Mike Vrabel's decision to bench Mariota, right, in that Broncos game and going forward. But, you know, I really wonder how that would have evolved. Because, I mean, you imagine Tannehill came in and they caught fire. If he hadn't come in, you know, where would Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel be? You know what I mean? So I'm curious to see how Mariota is going to respond just to get another opportunity. And could it be like Tannehill where, you know, you had it taken away from you and now you're like, hey, I don't have anything to lose, and you go ball out? It could very well be that. So I want to see. It's really going to be about Mariota being able to see it, believe it, and let it rip. And that's something that we said over and over again at least in the years where I was here and he was playing.
Ron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you making time for us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, that's right. This is a breath of fresh air for so many guys. If you're out there listening, struggling in the bedroom, maybe not liking that pill and experiencing erectile dysfunction, Hillside Medical Clinic uses acoustic wave therapy. This technology uses pressure waves that clinically open up and widen blood vessels. That's a great thing, as you can imagine. More circulation, more blood flow. This is the future, and we're helping a lot of guys get rid of that erectile dysfunction.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this technology?
It is heavily vetted. In fact, we have now approaching 60 studies backing our technology, from hospitals to colleges to universities. You can go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com to read those. I think, my opinion, it's irrefutable. The science is sound, and it's treating the root cause problem of ED instead of just masking the symptoms.
And, Andrew, you've got a special offer for our listeners if they call in right now.
We do. ED doesn't get better on its own, guys. Grab your phone. Call us now. We'll set you up with the assessment, the exam, even the blood flow ultrasound. It's no charge. You'll get a gift that produces pretty immediate results in the bedroom. We're talking minutes here. You'll love it. Call us now. This is hundreds of dollars in value. It's all free.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Make sure you stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 16th. Don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase is necessary. Thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us in the last segment. It is interesting, the NFC South version of the Titans is being constructed down there. Ferkser, Evans, Pease, Arthur Smith, and Marcus Mariota down there in Atlanta. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Look, I have not sought out Atlanta Falcons games.
I think we just went complete Robo Joe. There he is.
2 years back. Ago.
He's gone.
Oh, Robo Joe.
It is amazing.
You're back, Joe.
Joe. He's just shaking
his
head.
I'm just not even going to talk. Do I have to go sit by the router now and warm my hands by the fire?
Maybe
is that what
so.
I have to do?
Maybe what you have to do. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Herb in Bowling Green texting in says, there are two things that Ryan Tannehill probably did not request, Julio Jones and restructuring his contract. Was coming from Herb in Bowling Green. Two things that Tannehill probably did not request, Julio Jones and restructuring his contract.
Yeah, well, now, you know, the restructuring of the contract, I mean, that's no problem for these players. Here, let's convert more of this into bonus money and get up front. And, again, from Tannehill's perspective, look, I don't think the Titans were going to move on from Tannehill. Like, let's say nothing got touched, okay? Well, let's say they didn't do the Julio. Whatever. They go through last year. They don't touch his deal. They could have gotten out of the deal. I don't think they would have. Maybe they would have been more freely looking around. Who knows? They're probably still bringing him back. But if you're him and they restructured your deal, again, I don't even think you were thinking about the idea that they would want to get out from under the counter. But as soon as they did that, you pretty much knew you were going to get this season as their quarterback. So yep. It's not a problem for him. As far as Julio Jones, I bet you Ryan Tannehill's reaction in private that day was just like some people made public, like Lawan going nuts and A.J. Brown. Like, what would A.J. Brown like? Now you guys done bleeped up, right? I mean, like, I'm sure his reaction was, yes, going to dominate the NFL. I mean, why wouldn't he have thought that? You know, Julio Jones had one injury-affected season the year before, but he still looked really good when he played. So it didn't work out. This happens. At some point, a player goes from this to this, and unfortunately for the Titans, that's what happened when they got Julio Jones.
Let's go back to the text line. David in Nolensville texting in says, why are we so hard on Tannehill? Everyone would cut off their arms to get Aaron Rodgers, and Green Bay lost to the 49ers with Garoppolo. This is coming from David in Nolensville.
Well, first so two parts of that. First of all, look, I mean, I think it's almost become a joke on our show, hasn't it? I mean, it's gone overboard. I mean, it has.
Yeah.
You could do a lot worse. The Tannehill thing is, you know, Warren Sharp is the one who tweeted out the QB room values or costs this year, yesterday. And it kind of continued on that with a conversation about just the whole question for teams of having good quarterbacks. Investing in good quarterbacks, is it worthwhile or not? You know, Kirk Cousins being another example. Jimmy G, there's one. There's a guy who has played in a Super Bowl and got awfully close to winning it, got to another title game last year. So, you know, that's the thing is everybody's like, oh, you got to get this, you got to get Rodgers, this guy. Well, okay. Well, if you're one of a handful of teams in the league who can do that, good for you. Short of that, are you supposed to not pay a good quarterback? And let's face it, let's be real. Tannehill was not just a good quarterback in 19. He was a very good quarterback in 19 and in 20.
Yep.
It's all been taken out of whack. I mean, I agree. Now, I would also say, based on two straight playoff games and most of a lot of last season, and certainly the last playoff game, my optimism that he's going to get it done is way down. He's also probably shouldn't be regarded as public enemy number one in the city of Nashville.
He shouldn't, but I am interested, going back to that conversation we had earlier, of like, what is the reaction from Titans fans going to be? Because, I mean, obviously we hear from a lot of people who are fed up with Tannehill and they're done with Tannehill. I'm sure there are a lot of Titans fans out there, and we hear from some of them that, you know, they like Ryan Tannehill, and they know that it could be a whole lot worse than Ryan Tannehill. So when that time comes, when he's running out of the tunnel, or when he throws his first interception, which will happen at some point next year at Nissan Stadium, what is the reaction going to be like? I'm very interested to see what happens. We had a texter, you know, a few minutes ago ask us, do we think there's a chance that he could get booed when he runs out of the stadium, like in, I guess, pregame announcements, like the field? I doubt it, but
no,
maybe from some people.
Yeah, you probably have a few stray boos, but I don't think that'll happen. Now, and it's not like he was going to be the last guy. Because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, when teams do offensive intros, it's obvious like the quarterback is the last one. He already wasn't because of Derrick Henry. They might introduce him before, like, before their whoever they're starting left.
Then get
gave up 3 sacks last year in the opener. Won't do it again this year. Then you'll get like, but you'll get like, and here's quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Real fast.
That quarterback number 17, Ryan Tannehill. He's still here. See ya.
Okay. Okay. All right. And next up, Knight Aaron Brewer, left guard. But no, I don't think he'll get booed. But like, as we credited Darren McFarlane with earlier in the show, and I hadn't really thought about this, the first big mistake he makes on the field, he's going to hear it from fans like he has not heard it from fans. And it's, I'd love to know, any Dolphins fans listening, when we do talk about Tua every now and then, did Tannehill get booed at any point in Miami?
I don't know.
Like, I will say this. I covered a couple Dolphins-Titans games in Miami. I actually, in 2016, the Titans dominated a game there. That was the one year the Dolphins were good, made the playoffs. It was Tannehill's best year. There was some booing when they went three and out for like a third straight time against the Titans defense. But that was more like, okay, this offense stinks. That wasn't like, yeah, that wasn't like directed necessarily at Tannehill. So is this possible this will be the first time he gets booed? Because he will get booed this year. He will throw a pick. He will throw a bad pass on a third down early in the season before he establishes what he's going to be this year. He will get booed. And that will be a first in this city for sure.
Did anybody get booed when you were there for like 15 consecutive hours for Vrabel's first game in Miami?
Oh my gosh. We booed from the press box. Like, there's no weather. There's nothing here. Like, it's sunny outside. What are we doing? Sitting there for hours. See, that was a Tannehill win over the Titans.
Yeah. That was a rough game for the Titans. Adam in Portland on the text line says, how pissed will Marcus be when the Titans cut Tannehill next year and the Falcons sign him? This is coming from Adam in Portland. Already forecasting Ryan Tannehill, the eventual replacement of Marcus Mariota, yet again down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's like he just can't shake him, man. He can't shake him. Keith says, overreaction, making a Tana Mountain out of a Tannehill. Oh, Keith.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Keith, you wordsmith, you. What would we do without you?
Grigsby texting in says, as a longtime Falcons fan, being the closest team pre-Titans, I feel like I'll be watching the Bizarro Titans this season. It's coming from Grigsby on the text line. They do have a significant number of Titans down there.
Yeah, it is very much like, you know, like Vrabel. Like Vrabel's been here years now, and we still see the pipeline from Houston to Nashville. And it's not like he was even in Houston that long, you know. So there's a heavy reliance on people you know, people you're with every day in the building, and you trust them and you believe in them. But I feel like this is with those two guys. I could be wrong just because it's what we see every day here, but I feel like it's kind of extreme from both Smith and Vrabel in terms of bringing in people from his past stop.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Pregame show with Jeff Hemp starts at 5:50 and first pitch is at 6:05. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Nate Rao from Axios Nashville coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get the latest on the Titans' new stadium discussion coming up at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to Nate on the show. And Hal Gill at 9:30, looking ahead to Preds and Oilers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joey from Gallatin texting in says, the Falcons are to the Titans what the Wild are to the Preds. All right, a whole lot of former Preds on the Wild. I don't think there's any question about that. Justin in Nashville texting in says, you guys mentioned it earlier, and I know he's locked in because of the restructure, but all I wanted as a day one fan was a post-game accountability on Tannehill's part. He just kept saying, we. This is coming from Justin from Nashville on the text line. So that goes back to the post-game press conference in the immediate aftermath of the Cincinnati game. There was a whole lot of we. And I agree with Justin. Like, I probably would have liked to have heard I got to play a little bit better. I can't be throwing the ball to the other team three times in one game. And there was a whole lot of we in that press conference from Tannehill.
Yeah. And look, Tannehill does that when things go well. So
he does.
Credit to him on that. He's not he's not huge on like I'm playing great. I mean, because you know, at various points in his time in Nashville, he's been asked questions, you know, about doing the, you know, index finger push-ups for the Dolphins game or whatever. You're playing well. He did express frustration with not getting the Pro Bowl nod in 2020. But for the most part, he keeps it team on that. And he kept it team on the Houston game when he threw four picks. But I think with that, you could read between the lines, especially with stuff Vrabel was saying, and just the fact that you were down to Des Fitzpatrick playing in that game.
He was trying to throw Des Fitzpatrick under the bus.
Right. So that one's fine too. But this one, at some point, you gotta just point the finger at yourself. And that was the time to do it. And I think it made it worse that he didn't. But here's the thing. Even with that press conference, that's sort of that's how you go about things. You try not to make it about you either way. Fine. A couple days later, move out day, that's when you come out and say, okay, hey, look, I got to be better. And I'm committed to being better this offseason, whatever. Take questions, talk. And he didn't do it. And sometimes things time out on move out day with certain guys, but that should have been, he should have wanted to talk that day. Ryan Tannehill should have wanted this, knowing that, look, this is the last time I'm going to see any of these schlubs in the media until the spring. And this is my last chance just on a neutral, on various platforms. Because you can always go to social media now, but it's a different thing. Talking to the media and how fans get things from different outlets to get the most bang for the buck on what I want to say. He should have done it. He should have wanted to do it. He didn't show up. That was weak. And that doesn't help this whole thing.
So when's the next time he's going to talk? When does that happen? When do you think that happens next?
It won't be long. It shouldn't be too far. I mean, I don't remember exactly, and maybe some of my cohorts who are more Titans beat writers could speak to how that all goes. But somewhere in OTAs, I would think that he would. Now, again, remember, you don't have to show up for anything but the mandatory mini camp, but I think he'll be here. And so I would think that somewhere in there he would have a presser. It shouldn't be long now. And that'll be interesting. Maybe I would, if I had to guess right now, he's probably going to go with I put the past behind me and I'm looking forward, which is fine. I mean, I don't think it's fair to expect him to say, okay, now on that second pick, my God, was I bad. And here's how I screwed it up,
Right.
But I also would say the first time he talks, if I were him, I'd go ahead and hearken back a little bit and reflect on that, because he just didn't do it in the moment. And that's not how you should do things as the leader and as the quarterback, especially when it is on you.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you talk to anybody that's been around him, that's worked with him. I mean, TD brought up Mike Tannenbaum earlier, who loves the guy. I mean, a lot of people think that Tannehill checks just about every box that it comes to when it comes to the leadership part of things and what he does in the meeting rooms and on the practice field, all these different things. And I'm sure that he does. I don't question that at all. But from a guy that is like that and apparently checks so many boxes, the way he handled that at the end of the season was weak. Now, is it the world's biggest deal at the end of the day? No. I mean, if he comes out and throws the ball to his team this year instead of the other team most times, then we're going to have a different conversation about him, at least temporarily, until the playoffs come around. But from a guy that does check so many boxes, or at least seems to that way, I'm still just surprised he handled it the way that he did. And maybe he was just that sick to his stomach from his performance, or I don't know what the reason was, but I feel like somebody should have gotten in his ear and been like, hey, man, you probably need to talk today on locker room clean out day.
Yeah, because again, when you – there are just times, I've seen it countless times, you're the one who missed the free throw or whatever. You're just like the star player, didn't have a good game and it was a huge loss. Whatever the case may be, when you decide that you just aren't going to face the cameras and the recorders, then your teammates will be asked about you and they get to talk for you. And that's not fair. So A.J. Brown handled it really well that day, but he shouldn't have been in that position. Again, I think we maybe got, I don't know, eight guys, nine guys, whatever it was. Most of them were all on defense. Defense was great against Cincinnati. Hey, I understand. It's a lot easier to talk about performances and when they're good and when you did well. But also the whole defense is asked about, the offense too. Yeah. So you got to – You got to come out and face the music. And I look, I can't quantify it. I can't put a number value on it, but I think there is value in being the accountable person who talks to the fans in these moments. And I think that, look, I mean, that might not, again, I can't quantify it, but maybe those boos are down a couple octaves, you know, when you throw a pick next year, if you do that. Ultimately, you're right. It's your performance. You perform well, everyone will forget it, move forward. But this is still, like, this is a huge money-making business, and these fans and these customers pay a lot of money to come watch you play. So it shouldn't just be your social media where you try to say what you want to say. There are times you have to talk to everybody. And on that front, I honestly don't know what Tannehill does on social media, but I guess it's not much, right?
I wouldn't think so. Haven't noticed him all that much on the social media. Got a texter that says, I agree. Tannehill sucks. Went 5-12 last year and missed the playoffs. What a loser.
Hey,
I detect
again,
sarcasm.
Yeah. Look, every time I see a person who says this, it's heartening to me, because this is the problem, is that, like, sometimes it's a very loud minority of people who are screaming about something, and actually, like, most of a fan base is actually, like, just not even bothering to weigh in because they don't feel that way. I still feel like the fan base sentiment on Tannehill has swung dramatically, and I don't question that. I think that totally makes sense, but it's still good to see people who are like, no, actually, I like Ryan Tannehill as my quarterback, because yes, it could be much worse.
I got a texture that says, original PSL holder here. I've seen a lot of Nissan Stadium, and other than the 2000 loss to the Ravens, I have never been more ticked than after that Cincy game, and walked out of the stadium convinced that the team is currently constructed can't get it done with Tannehill. He has been good overall for the team, but his playoff games the past 2 years show that he's not the guy. And no, I wasn't one of those screaming for Wilson or Rodgers, because they just couldn't afford the money or the draft capital. This coming from Jeff on the text line.
And he says, P.S., the only person I ever booed at the stadium was Norm Chow.
There you go.
So does that mean, like, you were booing? Did you, like, were you directing it toward the box?
Like, or going to the coach's box?
Yeah. Booing up? Like, if you were below the box, were you turning and booing to the box?
Yeah, maybe so. I've forgotten about Norm Chow.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well, did it?
It did not. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Preds pick to click coming up next as well. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess a goal score for tonight's game for the Predators. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll get to that coming up next. Make sure you stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 16th. Don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. Must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Edmonton Oilers at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the standings are as such in Preds Pick to Click. Nobody on the board last time out. Ryan Johansson, the game winner in overtime. Nobody had him. I did have Philip Forsberg, who had a goal taken away from him last time. That was fun. The standings are as such. The listeners still in the lead with 18 correct answers. Joe Rexrode in second at 17. Robbie with 15. Michelle with 12. Michelle got sabotaged basically the other day with Max picking Matt Luff, but then Matt Luff had a wide open net and he missed it. So I thought Michelle was going to get one, but it was not to be in the competition the other day.
Well, I would have picked Ryan Johansson, so we could just give me the point.
Probably. Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Tony from Nashville. Tony, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Tony, who is your pick to click tonight for the Preds as they take on Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers?
You know what? Duchesne and Johansson at hot, but it's Forsberg's time to shine.
There you go. So Forsberg, the selection for Tony. Tony, appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
So Philip Forsberg, the selection from Tony. back to more of a traditional route in Preds Pick to Click. I am up next in the competition, much to the chagrin of Joe Rexrode. And I don't know, Johansson is hot right now. I could continue to go with him, but I'm not. I'm going Matt Duchesne. So Forsberg and Duchesne off the board. Joe Rexrode, you're up next. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators. And yes, Michelle, Max used your first pick the other day for Matt Luff. It really happened.
I'm disappointed. He should have texted me. This is a fierce competition. So
he should have.
Yeah, I thought he was trying to sabotage you. But then when Matt Luff didn't score, I was like, I sure hope Matt Luff doesn't find out he was picked, because he's going to then blame Max.
Correct.
You know, for sabotaging him from picking him. So yeah, Max did a lot of damage. Did play some Beatles, though. I'll go with Roman Josi.
Okay. Going with the captain.
I feel like this time he's going to send one of those, and it's going to find its way in without the need for a redirect tonight.
All right. So Forsberg, Duchesne, and Josi off the board. Michelle Knezevic, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Tanner Jeannot. He's going to find the back of the net tonight. And I think people thought it was his goal the other night, but it was Ryan Johansson. So tonight, Tanner Jeannot is going to score.
Tanner Jeannot, the selection by Michelle Knezevic. So Forsberg, Duchesne, Josi, and Jeannot. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll see if the Preds can have multiple picks to click tonight as they take on the Edmonton Oilers. This is a big one tonight at Bridgestone Arena. You look at the standings right now, they've got a 4-point lead on Vegas. And I believe Vegas is in action tonight against Calgary. So that's a tough one coming up tonight for the Golden Knights on the road, taking on the Calgary Flames. But last night, L.A. gets absolutely hammered by Colorado. They lose 9-3, and L.A. is in third right now in the Pacific. And with this convoluted, weird playoff system that is now existing in the NHL, the Predators are behind L.A., and they're in the wild card spot, but L.A. is third in the division. So that means they're in the top six at this point. But it's good news, because the Predators now have three games in hand on L.A. So if they can continue to stay in front of the Kings, even if they get passed by Vegas, they'd still be in the playoffs at this point. Now, you're feeling good about the Vegas situation, too. We'll see if Calgary can take care of business against them tonight. And then you would have, if you can win tonight, maybe potentially a 6-point lead on Vegas by the time the game ends tonight. But if you're the Predators and you take care of this game tonight against Edmonton, with Chicago coming in on Saturday, you're sitting in a pretty good spot for this week.
Yeah, look, I think the Preds have to win. That's what it's about. They have to there's pressure and there's a tough schedule. But I feel like even just the last couple of days and the way things have gone increase the possibility that the Preds in the end are going to be fighting Dallas to be the seven. How important is that? You know, I think it's worthwhile. Preds would never say it out loud. No team would ever say, "Ooh, we don't want to play that team." You know, of course not. But it'd be interesting if the Preds do clinch a playoff spot. Like, let's say before that final back-to-back trip where they go to Colorado and Arizona, what are the lineup decisions? And let's say they're right there neck and neck with Dallas, trying to be the first wild card. What would you do if you were John Hines and that was your situation? You're in, and maybe in the back of your mind, you're like, "Whew, Calgary, I'd much rather play them. And boy, then if we beat them, I'd much rather see, you know, LA or Edmonton than I would St. Louis or Minnesota." What would you do? Would you scale it back and rest some guys, or would you go full bore?
That would probably be a conversation that I would look at. I'd start with UC Saros, and if I'm John Hines, I'm sitting it down and I'm saying, "Look, dude, I need you to be as honest as possible with me right now. How is your body feeling? And if you need some rest, I need you to tell me. And if you don't, then I need you to tell me that too. But I need you to be honest with me." And if he said that he was good to go, I'd probably go and let him play and treat it like a real game. If there was even a hint that he needed some rest, then to me, it's not worth it. Like, we talked about this the other day. If the difference ultimately ends up being Calgary or Colorado, like, to me, you know, it's not that big of a difference. Like, I don't think there's some gigantic gap between Colorado and Calgary. Would you probably rather play Calgary? Yeah, probably, than Colorado. But there's not some gigantic gap to me where they're just so much better than the Flames that it's not even funny. So that would be my conversation in that instance really begins and ends with UC Saros. If he needed some rest, then that's the way I'm going. We're resting at that point. What's also interesting is, like, let's say you got a playoff spot locked up and you know that you're in the playoffs and Yossi's 3 points away from 100. You letting him play? Like, you trying to get 100 points for Yossi? I don't know. Like, that's – I mean, it'd be pretty bad to get him hurt in the last game of the regular season. But if he's 3 points away from 100, I'd probably let him play. I mean, I can trust him, I think, to take care of himself out there.
That's a really interesting one. You know, notice that earlier in the show we had John Hines on, and I mentioned the Norris and Hart. Notice that he did not mention those at all.
He did not.
In some ways, I think John Hines is very old school in some ways.
That means you were listening to him. That's good.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was yawning. John. What'd you say, John? Who is this again?
John who? Which, be more specific.
I cannot believe that someone, well, Michelle did too. That's my fault for bad choice of words. Do you think John Hines thinks that I also was like zoning out on him? I was talking about maybe, the internet.
Maybe you need to call him. He's like, John, God. Let me tell you something, man.
Well, Joe, you did say, sorry, I zoned out for a sec.
You did say that.
That's such a bad choice of words. I was talking about the internet. Oh my God.
Sorry,
he's
John.
Like, oh, yeah. He's like, it's okay, man. I mean, I know it's a whole like 10 minutes straight of having to pay attention to the, you know, Nashville Predators head coach. I get it. No problem, buddy. What a loser. Jeez. How embarrassing.
Hey, John.
Yes, I was talking about the freaking internet. What's the right word instead of zoned? I glitched out, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
Sorry,
a bit
my
better.
Internet went know. Out for a second.
I guess that's true. Yeah, but you could also specifically talk about things like that. Yeah, that's why you're on the six.
That's you know? Right.
You young people just have a better way with words.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I felt I it was notable to me that John Hines did not even address. I don't think he doesn't want anything to do with like individual awards and stuff like that. So I think he would lean toward, hey, Roman, let's think about the playoffs rather than let's get you those 3 points.
I'd be interested to see what Roman would think about that.
And Roman would be like, what'd you say? I didn't
sorry, John.
Okay, yeah.
Didn't hear you. By the way, according to MoneyPuck.com, the Predators' chances of making the playoffs, 94.9%. So this is fluctuating, obviously, on a daily basis, but now at 94.9%. Vegas, 40.1%. LA's at 76%. LA better get it together.
Yeah. Without Doughty now, I don't know, man. Vegas might actually have their lifeline here.
They might. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Preds and Oilers tonight. By the way, I got a texture that says it feels like every day I'm saying that this is a big one for the Preds. That's because I am. It's a big one every single day for the Preds as they come down the stretch here.
It's April.
It is April.
You want to be playing meaningful hockey in April.
And they are doing that, no question about it. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Nate Rao from Axios Nashville. We'll get his thoughts and the latest on all things Titans Stadium. He's been out in front of the reporting on the Titans Stadium. We'll talk to Nate next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.